The title that I've chosen for today's teaching is similar to a title of a teaching I did back in 2009, only with a difference. I've added the word not. 2009, the teaching was resistance is futile. But today, 2016, 7 years later, the title is resistance is not futile, or some fires you don't fight with fire. And that, of course, brings us to today's situations where people in the world today are looking for answers, for solutions, as people throughout history have. But today especially, because we're faced with many things in the current modern world that are no different than they were back in the 5th or 6th or 7th century, or even before. Man still has a nature that is sinful, and some men have no courage in their lives. They're cowards, and because of that, we have different situations we are faced with, and we must decide, how do we deal with these? How do we deal with these sometimes seemingly overwhelming situations? Well, resistance is not futile, so we want to resist. And yet we read this in the 5th chapter of Matthew, if you open your Bible and go there to the latter part of that chapter, on the subject of retaliation. Jesus, in his prime teaching, is recorded as having said, verse 38, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." That's in reference to the Mosaic Law, where in the Law of Moses, whatever a person did that cost another person needed to be repaid in like manner. So, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And of course, the law of our land here today in the modern nation of the United States of America was originally based on that concept that if you stole something from somebody, that you would be required to repay it, not only repay whatever you stole, but to also make reparation for damages, which, of course, the Mosaic Law was the same, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. And, of course, we've gotten away from that in a very bad way. Today it seems that the victim is challenged by the authorities rather than the villain. And so we need to keep things straight. And the way to keep things straight in life is not with governments and the laws of men, but with the law of God. So Jesus said, you have heard that. That is true. From the Old Testament, law of Moses. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. And yet I've chosen today the teaching, resistance is not futile. You see, what he was talking about is retaliation. Resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. See, this is one great way to stay blessed. Turn the cheek. Smite on the cheek. Now, today, most Christians don't understand this concept, and they have taken it to mean that you could be physically accosted or abused and not defend yourself. But that's not what he's talking about. Jesus was talking about the Eastern concept embodied by smiting someone on the cheek. It was an insult or a challenge to fight. And we are insulted in life left, right, and center most days. There's many insults that come our way. And insults, regardless of where they came from, who they came from, or how they were delivered, tend to challenge us to retaliate, do they not? When you get insulted, you want to retaliate. Jesus said not to. To resist not evil means you don't fight fire with fire, which of course is an old old adage, fight fire with fire. But there are some fires that we ought not to fight with fire. To fight fire with fire means you return to those, whatever they did to you, in like fashion. An eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth would be fighting fire with fire. If you're insulted, fighting fire with fire would be to insult again. If somebody smacks you, punches you, fighting fire with fire would be to punch him back, right? To escalate whatever the situation is. This is not what we are supposed to do. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't defend your personal well-being or your family or anything like that. Of course you should. That's a moral obligation we all have. God's given us life. It's nobody's right to take it away from us. Unless we choose to abdicate that responsibility and forfeit our lives. And men in the East did that. They were considered to be, and today we still use the term, martyrs. But we are not to martyr ourselves unnecessarily. Jesus Christ paid the price, and so him being the ultimate sacrifice, there's no need for us to sacrifice our lives. We need to be living sacrifices, not dead ones. So we need to understand what it means to resist, not evil. The word resist is a compound word in the Greek, antihistemi, which means to stand against or to oppose, to not stand against evil, not to fight evil with evil. Look in Leviticus 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Of course, Leviticus has the law in it. We're going to the 19th chapter, where Jesus' life, ministry, sacrifice, resurrection, ascension into the heavens, pouring out of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, a new law was instituted, the royal law, the law of love. We don't need laws to tell us what's right, what's wrong, because we live, or should, live by the law of love. Love does no evil to anyone. And here in Leviticus 19, in the 18th verse, even in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were told, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." So even with the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, the object of avenging oneself, retaliation or revenge, was not one that the children of Israel were supposed to embrace. On the contrary, they were to not avenge themselves. Perhaps you've read, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." It is not within my purview as a man to seek revenge on somebody. That is wrong for me to do so. And I'll tell you what, it does not bless you in your personal life, your emotional view on life and yourself, to harbor bitterness, animosity, and seek revenge. It's a real life sucker, it really is. Have you ever felt really great about paying somebody back with an insult? Doesn't it just escalate a little bit? You feel a little bit better? But then you kind of feel like you need to go take a shower, don't you? It's not a good feeling. It might have that immediate gratification that old man nature rises up. You don't embrace that, do you, brother? But it does rise up in us. We know that. You have to exercise your renewed mind to walk by the new nature. Look in 1 Samuel 24. David, a man after God's own heart. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. David, the Lord's anointed. David, king of Israel. David, the one who as a boy slew the Philistine Goliath. When the armies of Israel shook in their boots at the very thought of Goliath, and Saul himself, who was king at the time, had fear in his heart of Goliath, and this young boy, David, slew him. Well, it got him great acclaim. But the great acclaim with the people got Saul jealous. And Saul, in his jealousy, wanted to kill David, sent his army after him. David found himself living in caves. And here at chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, we read, "It came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet." I understand that means to relieve himself. "And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave." So while Saul was relieving himself, he didn't have any porta potties in those days. Little blue things, you know. "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." So David's vented. There he is. He's occupied. Now's your chance to end this whole facade of him trying to kill you and pursuing you all over the country. So what did David do? He arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily or privately or quietly. He exercised stealth and went up behind Saul and without Saul's knowledge, cut his garment. Now, if he cut his garment, he could easily have cut his throat or stabbed him in the back. He could have killed him, could he not? He chose not to. And being a man after God's own heart, look how this action, look how it affected David. It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, now there you go, brother, there's that little bit of gratification. Came back to bite him, didn't it? "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Wow, humility. Now, if anybody didn't deserve any reverence, it certainly was Saul. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe is in my hand, for in it that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Knowest thou, and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." Now that's a man who is a man after God's own heart. That's the way we want to be. Would that be a challenge? Oh yeah, no question about it. Sometimes we are tempted and tried, just like we sing in that song, right? But this is the benefit. If you want to be the type of person that God can say, there's a person after mine own heart, well, there's a good example. Turn the other cheek. This was even beyond anything you and I have faced. Saul was after David to kill him. He wanted his life. He wasn't satisfied with just needling him or making his life tough. He wanted to kill him. And for what? For saving the armies of Israel from the Philistine giant, because once Goliath went down, the rest of the Philistine army ran. Verse 13, as said the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. From the evildoer comes evil. If you do evil, if you do wicked things, what does that make you? If you act like the unbelievers, what does that make you? If I say and do the things that are contrary to God's word in retaliation to those who would harm me, what does that say of me? If I lie because others lied about me, what does that make me? From the evildoer comes evil. Or, as a certain movie character said a number of years ago, stupid is as stupid does. Right? What can you expect? So if we have a holy spiritual nature, that ought to be the way we behave. And we should try our best to do that. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom, verse 14, dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, look at how this softened Saul. Now, of course, Saul chose to become a moron again after that, and it cost him his life. But as it says in the Old Testament, a soft answer turneth away wrath. So it did with Saul. Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice, and what? He wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou surely shalt be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men get them up unto the hole. Well, it's quite a record, isn't it? Amazing how that action and those accompanying words changed the whole demeanor of Saul. But even if it hadn't, that would still be the right thing to do, to not avenge yourself. I know it's hard sometimes, and we're all guilty of it from time to time, aren't we? But that's not the way to go. Some fires, you just don't fight with fire. Doesn't mean you shouldn't defend yourself. We're not talking about that. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't defend your family. We're not talking about that. Matthew 7 again, if you would, please. Well, Matthew again, chapter 7 this time, verse 16. Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. How will people judge us if from the evildoer comes evil? How will people judge us if not by the fruits in our lives? A good tree, even so, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. So it's easy enough to pick out the evildoer, isn't it? Just look at the results in their lives. That's what fruit is, you know. You know the apple tree is an apple tree by the fruit. You know, a lemon tree is a lemon tree by the fruit. You could tell tomatoes what kind of plant it is. Tomatoes are fruit, by the way, right? That means, that must mean that ketchup is a smoothie, huh? Fruit smoothie? You don't like ketchup? Just kidding. But by their fruits, that's how you know. How can you tell if a person is a good person? By their results in their lives. How can you tell if a person does evil things to people? By the results in their lives. Now, those results will come. They may be slow in coming, but they're coming, just like planting any seed. First time you plant that apple seed, you don't get an apple tree. Then even once you got the apple tree, you don't get fruit right away. It's got to mature. So it is with any thing that's planted. Look in Proverbs 20. Proverbs chapter 20. We are considering resistance is not futile. No futility to resisting, not evil. That's the thing to do. You don't stand against evil. You don't pay back evil with evil. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall what? Save thee. Proverbs 24. Latter part of the verse. Verse 29. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. He'll pay you back. Payback is not a good thing, right? And you know, it's that old Eastern, Middle Eastern saying. In fact, I think it could probably credit it to those of Islam, that revenge is a dessert or a dish best served cold. That's what they're about. We don't want to be about that. And today in the world, we are confronted on every turn with something that requires a solution. Our solutions ought to be godly. And if they are, we'll have good fruit in our lives. Look in Proverbs 24. Oh, we read that one. Look in Romans 12. There you go. Romans 12. And let's pick this up, verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Now that's the right thing to do. Might not always be easy, but it's the right thing to do. Does that mean you don't acknowledge truth? What's factually accurate? Of course not. You just don't get sucked in to pay back an evil with an evil. You understand? Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense, that's payback, to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Seek to be peaceable. Don't seek to escalate things and turn it into a fight. It's a challenge sometimes. I know from personal experience that's a challenge. Challenges me. You know, back in the day, my old man nature was, you didn't take any kind of a insult or a knock against you without paying it back. You didn't. You just didn't. And so for me, that's always been a renewed mind challenge. Because I don't want to be what God doesn't want me to be. I want to be what God wants me to be. Am I perfect at it? Oh, no, of course not. I know it's hard for you to accept, but it's true. A hard pill to swallow. No, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. But that doesn't exonerate imperfection. Being imperfect doesn't justify doing things that we ought not to do. You follow? We need to recognize it. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It's not mine to seek vengeance. It's not mine. Really, it's not mine to seek justice either. But I can speak on my own defense. I can defend myself. I can speak on my own behalf. I can defend truth. I don't need to accept lies and things of that sort. But I don't want to get sucked into, if somebody lies about me, for instance, I don't want to lie about them. You follow? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Aha! Fight fire with fire. Well, that, of course, is Orientalism, where the young lad in the lands and times of the Bible would carry about hot coals to start the morning fires to warm the other people in the village that he lived in. And he would, as they often do, carry it in some sort of a container on top of some material to insulate him, on top of his head. But in the chill of the morning, carrying something warm like that would warm you. So in the process of bringing warmth to the neighbors, to the other villagers, he too would be warmed. It's a double benefit. If your enemy is hungry and you feed him, if he thirsts and you give him to drink, you warm his heart. That's what the verse is saying. Doesn't mean you're burning him. Be not, and this is so true here, verse 21, this really encapsulates everything that I'm trying to share this morning. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And about midway this chapter, well, latter part of the chapter, I suppose, verse 15 declares, see that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. So when Jesus said, resist not evil, you know, if we were to take that at face value in the understanding of English as we use it today, it would mean just, you know, go for it, pay back. But that's not what he meant. He meant you do not retaliate against evil with evil, as we clearly see from all these other verses. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Hebrews, James, Peter. As I say, a number of years ago, 7 or so, I shared on the same topic. And I suppose it's the kind of thing we could remind ourselves of all the time, because especially the world we live in, there's always something looking to suck you into some kind of an evil battle. It's just what the world is about. Just get in your automobile, take a ride. Get in traffic, and there you go, right? You have people snarling at one another back and forth. I can tell you, anybody that drives faster than me is a maniac. And anybody that drives slow is a moron, right? He's shaking his head over there, yep. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of the same mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. Contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Look in chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the kings as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And it continues. Then you have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning in verse 21. Even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. You see, I told you, resistance is not futile. Although, sometimes, you don't fight that fire with fire. Humble yourselves. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. James chapter 4. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resistance is not futile. What do we resist? Well, what the devil wants to do is he wants to draw you in so that you do the same things, just like he did to Jesus. He tried to tempt the only begotten Son of God, a perfect man who had never sinned. He tried to get him to sin. That's what he tried to do, to miss the mark. That's what he tries to do to us. Well, when you get a chance, you can read the first 10 verses of James chapter 4. But I would just say to you, as you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, I would just say to you that the record that we began with in Matthew addresses the heart, which is what Jesus Christ's ministry was all about. He addressed what's in the heart. And as such, we are not to allow evil to infiltrate our hearts. For if we do, we will certainly commit evil deeds. We defeat the temptation by overcoming evil with good. The temptation to what? To allow evil to infiltrate our hearts and to recompense evil with evil. We resist that. We resist the devil. And if you do so, he'll flee. Will he come back at some point in time? Sure. That's what he's about. But he will flee. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This is a new way of thinking, folks. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And then you can read all these wonderful truths which take you right into that fifth chapter, all the way down to this great 20th verse, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6 is what I'd like to leave you with. Something that we need to remember as we consider that resisting the devil is not futile. We don't fight evil with evil, because some fires you don't fight with fire. What we do is we go to God. We do as our Lord did and commit ourselves to a faithful Creator, even as He did. We do not allow ourselves to be overcome with evil, but rather we overcome evil with good. So resistance is not futile. And to remember this will aid us immensely. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.